More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, a call for peace. Is conflict wrecking your relationships? Not sure how to negotiate a truce between you and the people you're struggling with? Let us help you find the path to peace. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life.
Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled A Call for Peace. As we talk about conflict and all the ways it complicates our life and relationships, give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, is conflict wrecking a relationship that's important to you? Maybe you're not sure how to negotiate a truce between you and the people that you're struggling with. We want to help you find the path to peace. Give us a call. Let's work it out together. 877-573-7825.
I don't remember a time where I've seen so much conflict in personal relationships, in the world, in the media. There's just a murmuration of conflict going through everything. And it's very disquieting. It's very difficult to deal with. And because I think we're all exposed to it so much, because we sort of have constant access to everybody's conflict, whether that's in the news, online, or people talking about their own personal stuff online, or even in friendships and things, when we get hit with conflict that's kind of in our home or close to our heart in some way, it can be ratcheted up so much more, because we're sort of living with this more intense baseline of everything's conflict. So we have those reactions of either we're more likely to take it to some very high Richter scale level, or we're going to shut down and run away because conflict is appalling and we don't want to have to deal with it and it scares us. And it can really be difficult to say, now wait a minute. This person, this situation that I'm dealing with, matters to me. How can I deal with this in a way that's effective, that improves things between me and this other person or this group of people?
So give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, is there somebody in your life you're struggling to see eye to eye with? You know, maybe you're tired of having the same argument on a loop. Maybe things have gotten so tense with your spouse or your teenager, your parent, or friend, that you just started walking on eggshells just to keep the peace? Or have you tried to resolve the differences only to run into more differences? Well, whatever the cause of conflict and whoever you're struggling with, we want to help you find the path back to peace. Give us a call. That number again is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825, or questions at moretoliferadio.com.
And this can be any kind of conflict, from the, you know, the person in our life who seems critical, who's rolling their eyes, who kind of has always, you know, not given us the reactions and support we need, to those much bigger conflict situations that seem to be happening more and more, where people are setting extreme boundaries, going no contact. Maybe you and somebody you care about are at such odds about politics or things that you, viewpoints of the world, and it's just tearing you apart. And you're like, I don't want to lose this person over all of this, but I can't bend what I believe in either. So what in the world do I do about that? Conflict seems to be everywhere, and if you're just tired of it in your life and you want to know how to bring healing into that relationship in a way that is virtuous, that is godly, that allows you to be who you really are and get your needs met as well, give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, well, you know, how could some theology help me deal with conflict? Well, it turns out it can do a lot for you. So St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. He basically said, if we take everything God's given us, from creation to scripture to salvation history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became eventually what people now call the theology of the body.
The theology of the body reaffirms for us that God made every person unique and unrepeatable. Each person reflects a different facet of the face of God. And that sounds wonderful, in theory. Now, before the fall, it was great. Because people saw each other's differences as a gift.
But, you know, the fall changed how we see those differences. In fact, you know, in Pope Leo's new document on AI, he talks about the Tower of Babel, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and today, instead of viewing those differences as blessings, differences divide. We see them as irritations, obstacles, even threats. When we encounter somebody with different needs or opinions or values, it's easy to become afraid that somehow that means our needs or opinions or values don't matter.
And that's why we end up in conflict with others. Rather than trying to learn from each other and work together to meet everyone's need, we compete, negate, lecture, bully, and ignore each other. The theology of the body reminds Christians that it's our job to work hard to get past this. Building the kingdom of God primarily means working to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships. And the first step is learning to approach others with a spirit of curiosity that allows us to understand why people think what they think and need what they need.
So once we've taken the time to really listen and understand another person, it becomes easier to find ways to work together and meet everyone's needs. You know, people become more sympathetic and cooperative when they feel understood or cared for. Of course, resolving conflict with the people in our own life isn't always as straightforward as all that, but we can start by asking for God's help and praying in any conflictual situation. Lord, you know, each of us knows what we want, but help us to know what you want. And here's the most important part of that prayer, help us to take care of each other while we work together to figure this out. And that's something you can pray with the other person, or if they're not inclined to do that, you can certainly pray it on your own. But either way, seeking that grace to remember to take care of the person we're in conflict with so that we can work together to figure it out is kind of the key. 877-573-7825. If that sounds good in theory, but you're not quite sure how to apply it in your situation, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today and we bring to you those people that we are in conflict with. The folks that we don't see eye to eye with, the people whose opinions or values or needs seem to conflict with our own, help us to take the time to step back and understand, whether we agree with them or not, but understand why they think how they think or why they value what they value or need what they need. Help us to have that curious spirit that allows us to get to know the heart of the people that we are disagreeing with. And help us to always seek to know what you want for us and take care of each other while we work together to figure that out. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled A Call for Peace, as we talk about conflict and navigating those differences that divide you and the people you care about. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Nolan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
On Spirit Catholic Radio. Hey, Nolan, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hi, I was wondering how I go about a conflict between me and my father.
Okay, what's the conflict?
The conflict is I have made a claim now to be a Bible-believing Christian, mm-hmm. and I'm not declining that any religion is necessarily wrong. I'm Christianity-based.
And what's your father? Where's the conflict here?
The conflict is he's on the side that unless I'm Catholic, that I will not necessarily be allowed to go to heaven. And I,
based on
what I have read in the Bible, I don't believe that. So I'm trying to figure out how to go on that, how to navigate forward, because it seems to be a very big problem between us two.
How is it a problem between you? Like what plays out in the relationship here exactly?
So exactly what plays out in the relationship here is that there becomes like massive arguments where it's, I am not going to come to your house because, you know, you're not Catholic. So,
Nolan, have you ever, and I think I know the answer to this, but have the two of you ever prayed together for God to enlighten the two of you, to draw you closer together because you both love him and you both want to serve him? Have you ever prayed together about this topic?
No, actually not.
And would your dad be open to that?
I would have to ask, actually. I haven't asked.
Yeah, well. So, Nolan, I want you to go to your dad and say, I called into a Catholic radio show.
In fact, you can download the podcast of your call, play it for him.
Because I don't want him to think that you saying, let's pray together, Dad, is your new evangelical thing. Okay? Catholics can pray together. And I want you, and we don't need to use formal prayer. You just want to say, Dad, you love God. And I love God. And we seem to both have been given different traditions and ways of loving God. But we're not supposed to be divided because of this. We're supposed to be drawn together in our love and service of God and his love for us. So I don't want to fight with you. I want to take this to prayer and ask God to give us his Holy Spirit, heal our relationship, lead us closer to him and to each other. And they told me to do this on Catholic radio. So can we start doing this together? And you can do it over the phone, you can do it in person, you can do it over FaceTime, whatever it is. But you two fighting a few hundred years of this difference is not going to get you anywhere but into a bad place.
And I want to say this, you know, both for your dad's sake and for the sake of all the other Catholics who are listening to this Catholic radio show. Mm-hmm. You know, look, I would love for you to be Catholic, Nolan. I have all kinds of ways to respond to the objections that you might have to, you know, all of this. But that's kind of beside the point.
Yeah,
you're right. You know, the real issue here is we need. Whenever we believe somebody else is wrong, especially in matters of faith, we need to leave that conversion to the Holy Spirit, and we can talk to each other, and we can witness to each other, and we can share each other's experience, and we can ultimately pray together that we would all be one as Jesus and the Father are one, and as Jesus prayed that we would all be one. But conversion is the Holy Spirit's job. It's not my job to beat you over the head with the Bible or the Catechism and vice versa to try to convince you that you're wrong. It's my job to tell you my story. It's my job to explain why we believe what we believe. And then it's my job to pray with you and see where God leads us.
And when we pray together, when we ask the Holy Spirit to come into the two of us praying together and to guide us, the Holy Spirit can do a lot of things there. One, it allows our pride to kind of fall away, that I know I'm right. To fall away, and we become more docile in the Holy Spirit, and we go in and we begin to really listen and allow him to start healing the relationship. And it allows, we need to invite him to heal anything behind the arguments we're having. So you've been led one way, and he's very Catholic and has raised you that way. So part of it is, maybe, that suddenly you seem like a rebel. You're telling him he did something wrong, that he didn't raise you right. Whatever those things that might be underneath the surface that Satan's using to make him angry and to push you away, and then you have issues that came up while you were being raised that are making you not be able to just be able to say, Dad, I love you, and I want to work through this with you, and this is where I'm at right now, but I always want to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Let's continue to pray about this together so that we can be one, as Christ prayed to the Father, that we would all be one. I really think this is the way to start to go. It's really the only way to be able to heal all of this, whether it's brand new stuff or older stuff.
Yeah, and I will say this to you, Nolan, and anybody else who's in the similar situation who is engaged in religious debates with somebody they care about. Offer to pray, do what we're talking about here, okay? If they refuse to do it, or if they say yes and then they fight you on it anyway, then realize that it may not be about religious differences. It may be that the person is using religion to be right. Because the whole point of being a Christian, of being a Christian disciple, is ultimately to learn how to heal the damage that sin has done to our relationships. And unfortunately, a lot of times Christians aren't interested in that. They're interested in learning faith facts that they could use to beat other people up.
Well, it happens to all of us, because Satan loves to make our pride, our being right, more important. It's just a tool that the evil one uses to divide the body of Christ.
But, you know, if somebody has a good heart, is a person of goodwill, you know, then even when you have those differences, you're willing to at least pray with that person and say, okay, Lord, you know, I know what I think and they know what they think, but help us to know what you want us to believe, because it's all about you. And that should be something that you know, that draws us together, that we should be able to come together around. If that person rejects that or uses that as an opportunity to beat us up even more, then they're not really interested in religion and they're not really interested in a relationship. They're interested in being right.
But then both of you need to go to your own spaces and say, Lord, bring each of us to a place where we can have a docile heart to you and be able to pray with each other more than worrying about being right.
So, Nolan, start here. Let us know how it goes. And I want to thank you for having the courage to call into a Catholic radio program with your question. And I hope that this helps you and your dad start to see, you know, a way forward. And again, I'd really encourage you to download the podcast of the program and listen to it together as a springboard for this conversation.
And I want to encourage you, Nolan, to keep listening to Spirit Catholic Radio, because you will really, there are so many amazing apologists on there, scripture scholars, that during the course of a day, it's going to teach you a lot where you can have a much better common ground with your dad.
Even if you don't agree with everything you hear.
Right. You don't have to agree with it, but it will give you more information. It will give you more of a common ground. It will help you to understand better. So you're very, very welcome here, and please keep listening.
All right, and we're taking your calls, listeners, on conflict today. The show is titled A Call for Peace, as we talk about how to navigate those differences that divide us and the people we care about, whether that's conflict in your marriage, disagreements with your adult kid or pushback from your teen, issues with your parents or a friend, another family member. We want to help you cooperate with God's grace to heal the damage that sin is trying to do to all of our relationships and build the kingdom by building connection. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your questions, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She's going to talk about the difference between peace and quiet. 877-573-7825. Back with more of your calls and Rachel Watkins right after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit avemariafunds.com.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
First of all, I love your show. That's all I listen to in the car, and I have had so many answers to prayer.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I love all of your programs. I listen to EWTN all the time, in the car, nothing else.
I think we're just so blessed to have your words and your prayers, and I just can't tell you what it means because you helped me get through a lot.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is A Call for Peace, as we talk about all the ways conflict complicates our relationships. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Got a lot of opportunities for conflict in a family that big. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Lisa. I am so glad to be here. This is an important topic.
Well, and you wanted to talk a little bit about the difference between peace and quiet. And although they're related, they are different things.
Exactly. And what can happen in a household with your spouse, adult kids, whatever, is that you interpret the quiet that is in the house. You're not arguing anymore. There's no fighting. But it's an unsettled quiet. It is not a quiet that has brought peace. I like to think of it as, it's like spiritual doldrums. Think of sailing terms. The doldrums are when there's no wind. There's no moving forward. There's no navigating the water. You're just stuck. And oftentimes in a family, you can find those moments of stuck that you can be content with. Well, since we're not fighting, I guess we're okay, when you're not okay at all. There's a lack of conversation. There's a lack of real emotional intimacy with this person. And that needs to be tackled, as difficult as that can be. You need to say to this person who's important to you, saying, you know, I know that we're not fighting right now, but I'm so unsettled. I don't have a peace about our relationship. Is there something we can do together to help us get back to a healthier, true peace?
You know, and it reminds me, you know, of the difference that peace is the, as St. Augustine said, the tranquility that results from right order, from things being as they should be. Whereas quiet is just sort of the absence of open conflict.
Yeah.
You know, we're not fighting with each other. So that's quiet, and that's good, but it's not peace. It's not what we're really called to strive for as peacemakers.
And for a lot of us who were raised with conflict that was unhealthy conflict, we'll settle for peace every single time.
Yes.
Or
we'll
in
for quiet.
Thank you for catching that, Craig. Or in a case where we have the kind of large family that you have, we feel like, you know, any kind of quiet is a blessing. So we kind of go for that because we just don't have the energy anymore to handle the conflict. But it's only through creating that right order of handling conflict in a healthy way do we ever really get any peace in our hearts or our homes, right?
Exactly. And that quiet can come out of apathy. I don't care enough to repair this relationship. Or, like you said, exhaustion. I'm so tired of everything. So take it to prayer. You know, get a little bit of spiritual rest with the Holy Father. Take it to Christ and the Holy Family and say, I want our family to be healthier. and then talk to that person. And it can be an open-ended situation of, I would like us to be closer than we are. I would like to restore a true peace to the family. What do you think about that? And give them the time they need to answer, but make sure you follow up. You know, say, how about we go out to breakfast on Saturday, and maybe I can share what I'm thinking about, and you can share what you're thinking about, so that we can find true peace in our house and not be content with this quiet that actually isn't quiet at all.
I think you hit something that's important that I want our listeners to take away from this. If the person needs time to think, you say, well, we'll come back to it. No, you never will. You need to come up with a date and a time. You need to say exactly what you said. How about on Saturday morning we go to breakfast? Oh, that doesn't work for me. Okay, when does work for you? Let's get it on the calendar so we can really work on this together.
All good insights. Guys, thank you so much for your comments. Rachel, we really appreciate you sharing your experience and the benefit of your wisdom as well. And if folks would like to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club, let's check it out at beholdpublications.com. Again, that's beholdpublications.com to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club. And we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Maybe, you know, as you were listening to Rachel Watkins, you realized that you're not really at peace with that person in your life. You're not fighting with them, but you are tiptoeing around an awful lot. You're avoiding a lot of things that are hard to talk about. And not resolving those things is really coming between you and that person. Or maybe it is, the conflict is open, and you're not quite sure how to take down the temperature and really resolve the issues. Whatever the situation is, if there's someone in your life you're struggling to see eye to eye with, let us help you find the path to peace. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Back after this.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John, chapter 8, verse 51. Jesus is in a discussion with some of the leaders of the Jews. They're talking about Abraham. Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. So in the course of the discussion, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." He says that often in the Gospels. "He who keeps my word or believes in me will never die." To which the Jews say, "Now we know you have a demon." And they say, "Abraham died, as did the prophets. All the patriarchs, the great men and women of the history of Israel. All these people died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets, who died?" And Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." To which the Jews say, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchuk. Feeling stuck between saying yes to everything and feeling used, or saying no and feeling guilty, can be a big source of anxiety. Here's a better way. In my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, I teach a technique I call the qualified yes. Instead of treating every request as an all-or-nothing decision, you propose how and when you can help based on what's healthy for you and your existing responsibilities. So, if your parish asks you to run an event, you might say, "I can't take the lead, but I could help with this piece of it." Or if a friend needs you on Wednesday, you might say, "Well, Wednesday won't work, but I'm free Thursday." The qualified yes lets you be generous without losing yourself in the process. For more tips on building relationships that protect your peace, check out Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled A Call for Peace. We talk about all the ways that conflict comes between us and the people we care about. Is there somebody in your life that you're struggling to see eye to eye with? Maybe you just keep having the same argument over and over on a loop. Maybe things have gotten so tense with your spouse, that adult kid or teenager, your parent, a friend, some other family member, that you've just started walking on eggshells to keep the peace, or at least the quiet, as Rachel Watkins was just talking about. Maybe you've tried to resolve differences directly only to run into more differences. Well, whatever the cause of the conflict, whoever you're struggling with, let us help you find the path back to peace. 877-573-7825 or questions at more2liferadio.com.
Well, we did get a message here from Marcus, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Spokane. He writes, my brother and I haven't really talked in almost 3 years. It started over how to handle our mother's care after Dad passed, and it blew up into things we both said that we cannot take back. Holidays are split now. The whole family tiptoes around it, and honestly, I miss him. The problem is, I still think I was right about the original thing, and I know he thinks the same. Every time I imagine reaching out, I get stuck on the fact that he should be the one to apologize first. Is it even possible to repair something like this when neither of us thinks we did anything wrong? And again, that's from Marcus in Washington.
So I want to make a distinction here, Marcus. Thank you for the question. Between thinking that you were wrong and not doing anything wrong. Let me explain what I mean. Like, you might think that your position was the correct position, but from what you describe, you both are aware that you did a lot of things wrong in the way that you advocated for your respective positions.
Yeah, when he said that, you know, they said a lot that they couldn't take back.
Exactly.
So it went from having a position you each believed in, even though they were opposing each other, to saying and doing things that caused a real rift between you. And those are two very different things.
And it gives us a way forward, because you don't have to say or say that, you know, that I was wrong about what I believed, or I was wrong about what I was advocating for. You can apologize for the way you went about it and how you let your desire to be right or your desire to advocate for your particular position, you let that destroy the whole relationship, and that you regret that and you're sorry about that. And that would be the opening. In terms of how to move forward with this particular thing, and in terms of negotiating your two respective positions, I want you to ask yourself if it matters at this point. It may. Maybe there are certain things that you are, I don't know, due from the will or from the estate or whatever, or, you know, or certain things that would need to be addressed. But if you haven't talked to each other in 3 years, it seems to me that whatever practical issue was in play, it didn't matter enough that you guys haven't pursued that in the 3 years that you've got. You know what I mean? It's like you've somehow moved on. And although that's irritating to you, it hasn't mattered so much that it's prevented you from living your life.
Right. Somehow Mom has been taken care of. You've both had a life, but you do miss each other. And I'm sure if you're missing him that much, he's probably missing you as well.
If there is something you need from each other moving forward, I think that would be fine to focus on that. So, for instance, as you're talking, you might start by saying, hey, listen, I still think that, you know, I know we both think that we were right about what we said, but I think that I want to apologize for the way I came across and the fact that I let it come between us and ruin our relationship. So that's number one. But number two is, in terms of the larger issue here moving forward, you know, if we ever have a disagreement like this again, or even if we talk about these things again, I want to make sure that we approach it in this way and that we are taking care of each other and really looking out for each other. So whether we have to talk about this old thing or we talk about anything new, I really want to make sure that we talk about it in a way that allows us to be friends at the end of it. Are you willing to do that with me? That's where I want you to focus. And I do want you to really pray about whether the issue that divided you guys in the first place is still relevant.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, I mean, it's easier to be angry than it is to grieve. And very often when we are grieving, this all happened around the death of your father. A lot of times it's hard to feel that sadness. And so that causes us to latch onto something and create a lot of drama around it, so that ultimately and unconsciously we don't have to feel sad.
Yeah. You know, I want to say this to everyone who is listening. The biggest thing I have seen in the work that we do, and even in my own personal life, is that there is such a huge possibility that when you have a parent that passes to heaven, you and your siblings are going to destroy each other. Because all of a sudden, you're all little kids in your own heart and mind. You've lost your parent. It doesn't matter if your parent was 105 and you are a grown person who is capable of relationships all the time. When we lose a parent, we immediately feel scared and hurt and lost, and we don't know what to do with that feeling. And so we just start fighting with our siblings. Maybe with some weird unconscious hope that, you know, mom or dad will like come back and yell at us again the way they used to when we were fighting when we were kids. But it destroys relationships, and I see it over and over again. It is so hard to come back from. Usually because that parent or both parents were the people that held you together as siblings. And we think, well, mom and dad aren't here now. We don't have to do holidays together. Things aren't the same. We don't have to please them anymore. And so we don't have anything in common. And we just give up all of the childhood memories that we built, all of the traditions that mom and dad wish we were keeping going because now they're not here to observe it or be part of it. The best thing we can do as adult people is to really talk ahead of time as we grow up. How do we want to handle this when this eventually happens? How can we take care of each other? Can we talk to our parents now about how they want us to handle things? And if you're past that point and it's already all happened, I encourage you to do what we're encouraging Marcus to do and reach out to those siblings, because the way you handled it was probably the bigger problem than the difference of opinion.
Yeah. And I was looking this up while you were talking, Lisa. You know, about 60% of families experience some degree of estrangement and heightened tension that affects their relationships when a parent dies. 20% of those families fall apart entirely, and they lose their relationship altogether.
Yeah, and frankly, based on our experience, I think it's a lot higher than those statistics.
But I think that again, it's one thing to think, okay, I really wish things had played out this way. And if that continues to be a factor in your life, I mean, so for instance, it's a family business that you were unjustly cast out of, or you know, stuff like that, where there's practical fallout that you continue to deal with, then that's a matter of an ongoing injustice that does need to be addressed. But if it was something that mattered then, but other than a point of pride, it doesn't really practically matter now, try to move past that and focus instead on, look, the next time, if we ever have another situation where we do disagree with each other, how can we make sure we can have that conversation in a way that's respectful and loving instead of what we did? Because you can still disagree with your brother, but be sorry for the way that disagreement played out and the degree to which you let it impact your relationship.
Sure, and we all get to that point, not just around grief. I mean, what couple hasn't had an argument where they got overly emotional, overly heated, and they've said things in a mean way or called names or been accusatory, and we realize that the message, the real problem that needed to be solved, got lost in that heightened emotion and has done damage to the relationship because of the way we said things or the things that we said. But we can apologize for the way we said things and the things that we said, and then say, I'd like to go back and try to fix what we're really needing to fix here.
And I'll just throw this last thing out, and then we have to go to break. But the idea that, of saying something we can't take back, I'd really like to challenge people on that.
Yeah, good point.
Because when we fall into what I call the child self mindset, okay, when our emotions flood and our logical brain goes offline and our limbic system, our emotional brain, takes over, we're not really thinking rationally anymore. We're saying stuff that for impact. It doesn't even necessarily have to be true, right? And sometimes we won't even remember what we said after.
True.
Because it's not about what we're saying. It's about the impact we're hoping it will have. When we fall into that lizard brain, that child self mindset that happens when our emotions take over, we're not really trying to solve a problem. I'm trying to shut you down. I'm trying to get you to stop.
Trying to protect myself.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter what I say or do. I'm saying the stuff I'm saying for impact. And so when we say things, quote unquote, we can't take back, we weren't really meaning the thing we said. We were saying it because we were angry and I needed to shut you down and find a way to protect myself. And I knew that thing would do that. I may not even believe it. It may not even be true. And I think that being able to see those kinds of comments in light of that attitude doesn't make it right. It does mean that we need to apologize for that. We need to, you know, acknowledge it and learn how to do better moving forward. But it doesn't mean that, well, you said that, so now I have to hold that against you and count that as the way you believe about me for the rest of our life. I think that can be kind of petty, and it's an opportunity for us to get over ourselves and practice that, you know, bearing wrongs patiently and forgiving willingly.
And to heal, because if it touched a nerve so badly, then that's something that we know now is a sore point for us, and we have to say, well, why? Why, if I'm feeling confident in myself, if I know who I am, if I believe in my choices, then this shouldn't have affected me so badly. So what is it that I need to heal in myself so that I know that what the person said isn't true, and that I can have a real relationship with this person that has nothing to do with my own emotional woundedness?
All right. Thanks so much for the question, Marcus. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Talking about conflict today on More to Life, our show titled A Call for Peace. Is there someone in your life that you're struggling to see eye to eye with? Whether that's your spouse, an adult child, or teenager, a parent. And if you're fighting with them, we want to hear about it. 877-573-7825. As we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 9.
And it's a very familiar one for most of us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God.
Okay, and again, though, going back to what Rachel Watkins was talking about in her segment, peacemakers are not smoother overers. They're not avoiders. They're not kind of whitewashers. They're not people who tiptoe around stuff. Peacemakers, St. Augustine reminded us, are people who work toward right order. They address the stuff that needs to be addressed. They bring up things that might be hard to talk about. They aren't afraid to wade into the conflict when it needs to, so that they can clean up the mess. Not so they can create more conflict, but so they can actually clean up the mess that conflict left behind. So being a peacemaker means working to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships, not avoiding that damage or not tiptoeing around it or being afraid of that damage. So let's remember that. And if we can help you work to heal some of that damage that conflict is causing in your relationships, let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. More to Life continues with your questions coming up after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
Human beings are God's greatest masterpiece. Every person is made in the image and likeness of God. But every saint, that is, every person who accepts God's invitation, his upward call to make them holy. And so every story presents us with a unique masterpiece that God is writing.
The Journey Home, Monday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith life and relationships flourish. Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled A Call for Peace. As we talk about conflict and ask you to call in with your questions about the conflicts that are dividing you and the people you care about, 877-573-7825. You can also shoot us an email, questions@moretoliferadio.com.
We have a question here from Allison, who's listening to EWTN Radio in South Carolina. She says, whenever my husband and I disagree about something, he just shuts down. It doesn't seem to matter what the disagreement is about. The second he senses I'm unhappy, he goes quiet, gives me one-word answers, and then basically avoids me for 2 or 3 days. He'll stay late at work, go to bed early, anything to keep from being in the same room with me. Then once enough time has passed, he just resurfaces like nothing ever happened, all cheerful and acts surprised if I'm still upset. The problem never actually gets resolved. It just gets buried until the next time. I've tried being gentle. I've tried giving him space. I've tried sitting him down to talk about the pattern itself. And every approach seems to kick off the exact same shutdown. How do I bring this up with him without setting off the very thing I'm trying to talk about? And that's from Allison in South Carolina.
Allison, thank you so much for the question. I'm sorry that you're going through this. It's tremendously frustrating for both of you, I'm sure, you especially. So the short answer is you can't, right? There's no way to bring this up without triggering him, because this doesn't come from you, right? We've all learned certain patterns for navigating conflict and disagreement in our families of origin, and that actually has a lot to do with the way we were disciplined. The way our parents disciplined us tend to be the format we follow for navigating conflict and disagreement with our spouse. So what you're describing here is a guy who grew up in a household where it wasn't safe to be wrong, where it wasn't safe to experience conflict. When I say safe, I don't mean that he was necessarily physically abused. I mean that there was a lot of drama around conflict, and there was some parent who was more authoritarian than authoritative, and he wasn't allowed to disagree.
Or even came right out and said, yeah, no, let's not talk about anything. Let's just let it go, and it'll just calm down in a few days.
And so what you're running up against here is that he has this unconscious script that's pretty deeply ingrained, that conflict isn't safe, and so I just need to... And immediately he goes into that child brain, that lizard brain I was talking about before, the limbic system, where his response to that emotional intensity is to shut down.
Yeah, survival means shutting down, not being noticed, being quiet until the threat has passed.
So that's not to say that you're a threat. Objectively, it means to say that's where he's at.
Yeah, that's just how it processes when it starts up in his brain.
So there are a couple of things you can do. I do suspect you're going to need some professional help with this, because there are skills here that need to be learned that you guys might not have on your own. But let's start by some things you could do And then we'll figure it out from there. So number one, it's going to be really important for you to be sensitive to the shutdown and to say to him, hey, look, like whenever he starts giving you those one-word answers or just, you know, avoiding, to say, hey, look, I know that you feel like I'm the enemy or I'm picking on you or, you know, whatever, but I want you to know that even though we're disagreeing, I love you and I believe we can work through this. Take some time to think about it, pray about it. I promise you, I'm not mad at you. I just want to work this out. Let's figure this out together. You want to do two things. You need to keep the issue in play while continuing to reassure him that it's safe and okay to talk about it, even though he feels like it's not. You can also turn the table a little bit in the sense that he's justifying this behavior by saying that he's the victim in the situation. Okay? And sometimes we can turn the table by gently saying, hey, look, you're treating me like I'm your enemy. And I'm not. I'm on your side. I want to figure this out. I want to work together. Can you stop reacting to me like I'm the enemy and pushing me away? Because he doesn't see it that way. And again, you don't accuse him of that. Don't say you're being the enemy. You're pushing me away. It feels like this to me, and I want to get past that with you, right? So you're not accusing him. You're describing and you're inviting. He doesn't see it that way. He sees it, well, you know, she's bringing up all this stuff where I'm wrong and I did something wrong and here again, I can't make her happy ever, so I'm just going to shut down. By you kind of explaining, wait a minute, you're treating me a little bit like the enemy and I'm not your enemy. I want to be in this with you and work through it with you. That helps to try to pull him out of that place. So those are the other thing you can do is when he does come back cheerful, you can say, hey, look, I'm really glad you seem like you're in a better place. We still need to work through this thing. I need to figure out how can we handle this better the next time something like this comes up. Notice how I put it up. It's not let's refight the thing. It's the next time something like this comes up, I really need to talk about how we can handle it better so we don't have to go through this. That's not you still being mad. That's you honoring the thing that you just put your relationship on hiatus for 3 days for. Right? So it's a matter of being able to keep that ball in play. Now he might shut down again. That doesn't mean you did something wrong. It means that you can repeat the process that I talked about. Okay, I brought it back up, and you're shutting down. I'm not your enemy. Can we please work through this together? Now, this is why I think you might need to seek some professional help, because dealing with this pattern and trying to break through that resistance you get from him where he feels like it's unsafe and you're running up against that old programming is very difficult to do on your own.
Well, I want you to think about it this way. And if he gives you any kind of pushback about getting some help, maybe show him, you know, give him this example. If one of us was walking in a way that was hurting us. Let's say we got a toe injury or something. This actually happened to me years ago. I got an injury to my toe. I thought, it's a toe. Nobody does anything about toes. And I walked on it, but I guess I had tried to put pressure on the other side of my foot to bear the weight, and I ended up hurting my knee. I had to go to a physical therapist. There was no way I could fix that by myself. And it wouldn't have been enough for Greg to just say, well, walk differently now. You put pressure the other way, because I had trained my leg to work this way to survive the pain. This is very much that situation. He's going to need help, and the two of you together, because this has been such a long-standing process, are going to need help to retrain how each of you handles conflict, how to do this in a healthy way, how to deal with his concerns and fears that are triggered by this that he might not even realize have been triggered all this time. He just knows this is what I do. So getting someone who can teach those skills and help you to practice them and retrain all of this is going to be much more successful than trying to do this by just saying, hey, I need you to stop just shutting down on me.
All right. Thank you so much for the question. If there's more that we can do to support you, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. I'm pretty confident we could help you find faithful ways to respond to this and help you and your husband through this very challenging dynamic. The book How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love also talks about this dynamic and how to get past it. So there's some additional resources there. I'd suggest downloading the podcast of today's program and playing it for your husband so that you could use that as a springboard for the discussion and talk about the resources that you might need to break through this barrier. But thank you so much for the question, Allison. And listeners, if you are struggling in conflict with somebody you care about and are looking for some faithful ways to respond, I'd invite you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com. With that, thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.